So we're saving the galaxy again?
Yep.
Awesome! We're really going to be able to jack up our prices for two-time galaxy savers.
Yes!
Basically, it's about a group of aliens who are all orphans thrown together and have to save the universe yet again.
Die, spaceship!
And one of them happens to be a talking raccoon with a machine gun, and another one is a baby talking tree. Dancing talking tree.
Now, whatever you do, don't push this button, because that will set off the bomb immediately, and we'll all be dead. Now, repeat back what I just said.
I'm Groot.
Uh-huh.
I'm Groot.
That's right.
I'm Groot.
No! Now, that's the button that will kill everyone! Try again.
In the first movie, it really was about them coming together and getting to know each other and being together. In this one, it's about them remaining together. And that's a lot harder than just, you know, the first flush of love.
And the central character, Star-Lord, you know, he's a human from the 80s, and he's obsessed with his music mixtape in both films. Music is much more than just a passion of his character. Can you talk me through how integral it is to the film from script stage right through shooting?
I collect a large group of 70s songs on my, you know, my iTunes. And I just kind of use those as what are the basic kind of Guardian songs. All of the songs in both movies are songs that were given to Peter Quill by his mother when she was on her deathbed. The first movie, it's using all these songs that were very popular back in the day, and a lot of them weren't known anymore. And then in this movie, we have some very obscure songs and then some also very well-known songs.
Showtime, a-holes!
Yeah!
I write all of the songs into the script. It's a part of the storytelling process from the beginning. And then when we're on set, we film with the actors doing dialogue or whatever they need to do while they have earbuds in their ears. But it's not only the musical soundtrack, it's also the score. Tyler Bates, who did the beautiful score for this film, wrote the score ahead of time, and we play the score on set when we're shooting the scenes so that we can all tonally know exactly where we are in the scene.
Is there a song you could give an example of or why you paired it in a certain scene?
We have one enormous shot at the beginning of the movie to Mr. Blue Sky by ELO. And I often think of ELO, if the Guardians had a house band, that's who it would be.
Epic, loud.
Epic, loud, space rock from the 70s. Baby Groot dances to this song at the beginning. And Mr. Blue Sky is a really beautiful song. It's a really happy song. But like so many things in Guardians, it's contrasting what's on screen, which is Baby Groot's dancing while his teammates are battling this monster to the, you know, death in the background. And Mr. Blue Sky itself is also a very bright, happy song, but there's also a dark underpinning to it. At the end of the song, here comes Mr. Knight. It's got some malevolence there, and I think that's really what the movie is.
It's not just Star-Lord's awesome mix volume 2 that has this retro vibe. There are references to Pac-Man and Knight Rider in the film. What is the role of nostalgia in these Guardians of the Galaxy films?
Peter Quill left the Earth as a 8 or 9 year old boy, and you know what are the important, you know, cultural significance of Earth to him are Pac-Man and David Hasselhoff and John Stamos and Footloose. This is what he thinks of as the Mount Rushmore of the Earth. So this is just what he carries with him. I think for an audience member, I think it's fun to have something that's so out there and crazy and big as a Guardians movie with all the colors and crazy planets and crazy characters, yet really brought down by this sort of mundane pop culture and music at times.
Well, you mentioned colors, and I gather that you banned the color purple and assigned colors through the story. And there is particularly use of gold, this tribe of beautiful golden people, the Sovereign, led by Elizabeth Debicki. Tell me about how you use color then.
Right after I write the screenplay, I go through and I create color swatches for every scene in the movie. And I can tell a story with the colors themselves. So you'll see some sort of development if you look at this color timeline. And that's the color timeline that we fit into for every scene in the movie that we follow from there until the end of the movie, from visual effects and production design and everything. Last movie, we had a lot of purple in the movie. So I'm like, I wanted to give this film its distinct color palette. And so yellow reigns in the place of purple in this one.
You use the designer Chris Foss, who's a veteran of kind of films, to create this visual world and a lot of real sets with it. Tell me about the vision you had, because this aims to be different to that kind of very clean, sort of stark sci-fi that we might be familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, movies like Alien and Blade Runner came around in the late 70s, early 80s, and they created this dark science fiction world that then became synonymous with realistic science fiction. And when I first decided to work on Guardians, it was a large part to create a color that was missing in cinema today, to really make something colorful and beautiful and over the top that I think would wake people's brains up, and being influenced a lot by older Flash Gordon stuff, the pulp fiction, old amazing stories, pulp novel colors. That's really where Guardians is based in.
If I touch someone, I can feel their feelings.
You feel love.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, I feel a general unselfish love for just about everybody.
No, sexual love.
No, I don't.
For her.
No. She just told everyone your deepest, darkest secret.
Dude, come on. I think you're overreacting a little bit.
You must be so embarrassed.
Is the kid not taking it too seriously?
I think I take them incredibly seriously. So, I think I laugh, laughter might be part of the key. I laugh a lot while I'm writing and while I'm making these movies, but I take my work incredibly seriously. I take the characters incredibly seriously. I think I love these characters as much as I love people in my life. So to me, it's all completely real.
And in terms of audience, the 80s references will obviously catch a lot of older people. I'm fascinated by what kids make of the retro world of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Some of it they don't understand. I mean, we have a little handheld football machine at the beginning of the movie. There's no kids know what that is. You know, the last movie we had a Walkman, which we still have in this movie. There's a lot of YouTube videos online about how kids today don't know what a Walkman is.
But they're buying cassettes.
Even
they're
what
buying
a cassette.
Them in Urban Outfitters.
Well, they're starting to buy cassettes now in part because of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. They're into that stuff. I mean, listen, one of the most fun things to me is to go read the reviews by kids on iTunes for the soundtracks for both Volume 1 and Volume 2, because that's who loves the soundtrack.
What do they say?
It's all 13. They're like, I love these songs so much better than the songs that are coming out today. It's a revelation to them, these sort of very simple, elegant pop songs from the 1970s.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax. Take it easy.
And the kids that love them are the 13 and 15 and 16-year-olds. They're the ones that made the album go nearly double platinum.
I'm genuinely fascinated. I'm the same generation as you, of where you take this, because in a sense you're taking it back in a little spiral, which is great fun. But how do you take it forwards?
Well, I think that going forwards always includes the past. I mean, the movies that I grew up loving, say Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is probably my greatest inspiration to Guardians. We look back and we think, oh, that was a pure product of its time. But the truth is, that was harkening back to the old films from the 1920s, the old serials. I think that great art always incorporates the past as well as the future. And The Guardians really embraces the 70s and the 80s and old movies and old pop culture, but at the same time is doing it in a way that's completely new, that is going forward.
In these times of hardship, just remember...